In the proper last gospel of today's Mass, the evangelist tells us of the Pharisees. They were watching him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. September's shorter days, despite the lingering summer sun we've enjoyed this past week, yield the field to encroaching darkness, the slow onset of winter, which is reflected in the masses of this season for the September Sundays. A kind of a sign or a symbol, the weather is, the sun, of the suffering we share now with our Savior and our sorrowful mother. But the weather, as it's getting cooler finally, and the light as it is fading, speak as well of the affliction that will come upon the church at the end of the world, when the faith will fade and when charity will grow cold, the soul's dark night, and inevitably persecution. Last of all these days, we are meant to think of our own last moment and to prepare. The sorrowful solemnity we keep this Sunday took place first on Good Friday under darkened skies. Christians never dash for shelter. They stand with Mary. They stand up straight with our sorrowful mother. Stabat, Father just sang in the Gospel, stabat juxta crucem, at all the Calvaries of life, holding our heads high, trusting in God's fidelity. He is our Father, and faithful, faithful in the face of death. But yesterday, Our Lady appeared to two shepherd children at La Salette, France, 1846. And she was not standing, but she was seated. She was not stoic, she was weeping. Her head not held high, but in her hands, and tears were on her cheeks. Mary's message to Melanie and Maximin is the message of Mother Church whenever the gospel of the 16th Sunday after Pentecost and others like it is read. Keep holy the Lord's day. Rest from work. Go to Mass and pray. And keep holy two Fridays and the days of fast. How did you do yesterday? Did you remember the ember Saturday? But this tearful mother's practical admonition for the Christian life, to fast and abstain, to hear Mass, is almost eclipsed and left behind in the dark by what we call the terrible secret of La Salette, confided to Melanie, and long known now to the world. Rome will lose the faith and become the seat of Antichrist. And the church will be eclipsed. That is to say, this sun will no longer shine. It will be hidden behind a moon and disappear to leave us in darkness, stumbling around in darkness. And blessed are we if we are not scandalized and fall away. Who shall abide the day of his coming if the Sacred Heart lives in our hearts, if we are rooted and founded in charity? We should be able to rise above the level of a Pharisee. The Pharisees in today's last gospel are doing what Pharisees do. They're watching the Master. They've invited him to dinner some Sabbath for that very purpose. Carefully, they consider his words to try to catch him, something to serve to censure Christ and to accuse him to his own people. How odious this is. It is antithetical to the gospel itself. I mean, to be ever watching for a fault in your neighbor or your brother or your father. The Christian is a son of Noah. He goes in backwards and he covers over the faults of others. He sees them not and he speaks of them even less. The sinner, David writes in the 36th Psalm, shall watch the just man and shall gnash upon him with his teeth. Never be troubled when people watch you, writes Thomas A. Kempis in The Imitation of Christ. Have you ever read The Imitation of Christ? It's a great book to keep at the bedside and to read a little bit before you go to sleep at night. I think the best translation is that by Monsignor Knox, and I believe we carry it in our bookstore. Thomas A. Kempis goes on to say, when they criticize or speak ill of you, for you are as little able to please everybody as was Jesus or John or Paul. Remain steadfast. Keep your head up. At the last day, the darkness finally will seed to the coming of Christ the light. And he is the one, this all-knowing God, who will judge. Today's picnic looks to be a watery one, doesn't it? It reminds me of a wet ending to a picnic I had, years ago. And I want to tell the story because it might illustrate what Thomas A. Kempis is speaking of. This was in 1983, and the church had already long been eclipsed. Archbishop Lefebvre was negotiating the betrayal, which his successors are still working on today, with the same man, with that Ratzinger. A deal with a Rome that had lost its faith. And remember, we nine priests who had founded St. Gertrude the Great Church were expelled from the Pius X Society the year before for questioning the plan to give away the bank to the Antichrist. I was just preparing that summer to hand off some of the Western missions I had been serving to newly ordained Father Martin Skirky, when suddenly it seemed that they didn't want us to come back anymore. The chapel in Rapid City, South Dakota, said, stay away, you're against the Pope. And some of the people at our church in Helena, Montana, said, stay away, you're for the Pope. Go figure, but the church is eclipsed, and we are stumbling in darkness. Never be scandalized at these things. Now, just before things came to a head for our flock in Helena, at my last visit as pastor, we had scheduled a parish picnic, which was a fairly elaborate affair for Montana. We were going to take a boat somewhere, maybe to the headwaters of the Missouri River, something like that, and then we were going to get out and have a picnic. It was a June Saturday afternoon. But I mentioned to the coordinator, who was, as it turns out, one of the ones opposed to us, I mentioned to him, you know, I've got to catch a plane this afternoon to Billings, so I'm not sure I'd be able to make it and get back to the airport in time. Oh, don't worry, he said. Don't worry, Father. We've got that covered. We've arranged a canoe, a special canoe trip just for you. Well, I thought, well, that's a good idea. And so I went. We had a good time at the picnic, and when time was, why then, there was the canoe waiting, and I have to say, it was timely, and it glided quickly down the river, but I think I've ever been in a canoe before, and I didn't realize quite how it worked, as it seems that at some point you get almost under the water line, and then the water comes in. So there I was in my black priest's suit, sitting sort of like this and holding my little suitcase in my lap, and first went the shoes, and then the socks got squishy, and then my pants all got wet, and then the bottom of my suit coat. And I ended up at the airport on time, squishing through security and had a little bit of a wet ride to my next stop. When it comes to picnics, don't let a little water stop you. That's maybe the moral. And when it comes to people, you will never please them all. This reminds me of what the Kyrie of Ars said in another context. He said, if I were tempted to pride, this would be enough to cure me, walking through an airport soaking wet in the black suit. But the Kyrie of Ars once was, you know, taught catechism every day between confessions. And once he said to the people, I got two letters in the mail this morning, and one of them said to me that I was a saint, and the other one said I was a phony. Now, my dear friends, he said, the first letter gave me nothing, and the second took nothing away. Keep your eye, watch carefully, our Lord and our Lady and the saints. And should you find yourself attacked, don't worry about what you're going to say. This turmoil takes away trust, and it turns confidence into self-consciousness, which is disastrous for the spiritual life. What matters is not some little speech that you might prepare, which will make you win the argument and stun everyone else into silence. What matters is that we should remain anchored in the Sacred Heart, standing up straight with the sorrowful mother next to the cross, secure and at rest. And very often, you know, the best thing to do is to say nothing at all. Just before the noontide darkness fell that first Good Friday, according to the Venerable Emmerich, Our Lady managed to secure a spot on the Via Dolorosa, and she was waiting for her son to pass by. The executioners came first, and they recognized her. And some of them went up to her with the nails, and mockingly they presented them to this mother. And she turned away. When she did, she saw her son. And what a look of compassion he gave to his mother. And then he fell for the second time, hard, upon his hands and his knees. And then in an instant, he was gone. Last of all came the archers in the sorrowful procession. Do you remember this part of the story? What hast thou to do here, woman? He would not have been in our hands if he had been better brought up. And one of them, says the Venerable Agreda, pushed Our Lady against the wall. And she said nothing. And soon it was dark. Now, are you watching? God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.